Somebody say, amen. Wasn't that wonderful? He is wonderful. How many say he's the best thing ever happened to you? Say amen right there. Hallelujah. I remember January 31st, 1973, he saved me, washed me in his blood. I am a child of the King. Amen. I want to say this, and Brother Chad, our assistant pastor, is going to come up and read our text today. And I want to thank him for his help in the ministry this year. And I would like for our administrative pastor, Brother Jared, to stand. And I want to thank you. And I want our associate pastors, Brother Josh, would you stand? Brother Grant, would you stand? And Brother Tyler, would you stand? And I want all y'all to know we gave them a great bonus during their last payday. And I want you to thank them for their service here at the church. Would you do that? Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank you for being a help. God bless you. Brother Chad, come and read our text.
Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. The Bible says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brother. And Judas begat Phares and Zara of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Iliad. And Iliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations.
Thank you, Pastor Chad. I tell you what, that's why he gets the big bucks. Somebody say amen right there. And I want to read one more passage of Scripture. Once you just drop down to verse number 21. Verse number 21, I'll read one more passage of Scripture. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Notice this. For he shall save his people from their sins. I want to say just a few things by way of introduction about this genealogy and Luke's genealogy. Now, if you study the Bible, and I'd like for you to go home today, if you would, read Luke's account that's found in Luke chapter number 3, and then read again Matthew's account. And what I want you to note is, Matthew's account is the account of Jacob's genealogy and is the legal lineage of Christ and the royal lineage of Christ, and He is going to sit on the throne of David. Aren't you glad for our Savior, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If you go to Luke's account, now Matthew's account's kind of fascinating. It goes from Abraham, you with me, to Jesus. Luke's account is fascinating. It goes from Jesus all the way back to Adam. You said, what's the difference? In Matthew's account is the legal account. And Luke's account of the genealogy, it is Mary's genealogy, and it is his bloodline. Somebody help me preach right there. It speaks of his bloodline. He was eligible in Matthew to be king. He was eligible in Luke, somebody help me, to be Messiah. He is Messiah. He is King. He is Lord of Lords. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. And He is Prince of Peace. Glory. Now, Chad, when you read that, here's what came to my mind first. What a bunch of sinners. What a bunch of sinners that God, by His grace, put into the genealogy of Christ. Then I look at all of us. Oh, I'm about to get happy. What a bunch of sinners that God put into the body of Christ and are saved by the grace of God. Well, glory. Oh, I'm going to preach this way. I feel some preach coming on me. And what I've done, I've went in this genealogy. And I just picked out five of these sinners. Five of them. What I call them is five blossoms in the Lord's family tree. But they weren't always blossoms. Because if you study them, they had a blight on them. And that blight is sin. But I want you to I'm glad to tell you, my subtitle is A Picture of Grace. Amen. Can I? And maybe some of you will look back in your life, what you were, and how God saved you. And it might bring some shout to you today. It might bring, well, glory, I feel a little bit of myself. But let me, first of all, follow me in your Bible. Identify these five blossoms. And then I want to magnify the grace of God. First of all, in verse number 3, notice this. And Judas begat Phares and Zahar of Tamar. Now I want you to know something. Blossom number 1. You said, where do you find that story? Found in Genesis chapter number 38, 1 through 30. And by the way, it ain't a pretty story. But let's look at our lives. There's a lot of us that do. We didn't have a pretty story. But aren't you glad? When the grace of God comes, it changes everything. Just let me tell you about this story. Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah, one of the 12 tribes. Tamar was married to Judah's son, Ur. Let me give you a little something about him. All the Bible said about him was he did evil. And God slew him. Sound like a healthy race? Tamar was a Canaanite. A Gentile. That's two strikes against her. Her husband was wicked. But let me go on in the story. It's not a real flattering story. By the way, our lives are not real flattering. We're not much to brag about. There's some folks in here, you've been saved from drugs and alcohol and adultery and filthy wickedness. You ought to raise your hand today and thank God He saved you. I'll tell you what happened. Judah lost his wife. And this woman, Tamar, to shorten the story, played the harlot. Dressed up as a harlot. Judah, her father-in-law, came into her. Had an ungodly, incestual relationship. And these two children came from her. Somebody help me preach. And you say, well, how in God's name could God use somebody like us, like her? I want to ask you a question. How in God's name would he use somebody like you and me that's so eat up with society seeing? And so I tell you, there's just one answer, and it's the grace of God. Let me keep on. I try not to go too. In verse number 5. I want to introduce you to a second person in his genealogy. And her name was Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a member of a doomed race. Yet Rahab, if you study the Bible, go back to Hebrews chapter 11. You know where she's at? She's in the hall of fame of faith. You said, how she get there? She got there because of the grace of God and her faith in the Lord Jesus. Can I go a little further? Then we got Ruth in verse 5, the Moabitess. You said, where'd she come from, Lois? The Moabites came from the ungodly relationship between Lot and his two daughters. And here's what I am ready to shout now. You know what God done? He cursed the Moabites until the 10th generation. Whoop! You want to know what generation Ruth was? She was the 10th generation. We were cursed. We were ungodly. But Jesus Christ came and bore our curse on Calvary's cross and died for us. And we're free tonight because he lifted the curse from us. And we're children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Look at verse 6. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon of her that was or had been the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba. You read her account. Chad, she committed adultery. She got pregnant. And she was aware of her lover's plan to kill her own husband. Somebody better think about this. Think about where we were one day without Jesus Christ. Just as wicked, just as lost, just as ungodly. But he came to me. He. Then we want to notice in verse number 16, a fifth blossom. Her name was Mary. She was a young, pure Israelite, religious lady who was now putting her reputation on the line. And you say, what's going to save her? What's going to help her? There ain't nothing can help her but the grace of God. So I've introduced you to the blossoms. You find yourself in the blossom? Do you remember when you were undone and lost? Maybe you committed one of the sins that was found in that chapter. Maybe you committed some sin even worse than that. And right now you're in the family of God. You say, Preacher Smith, well, how am I so blessed? It's a picture of the grace of God and what grace can do in your life. Let me give you The second point, the blessing. The blossoms and the blessing. Let me give you three things that grace done for all of us. Some of you ought to get happy right here.
Yeah.
Number one, I found in this passage of Scripture, there is no sin that grace cannot cleanse. In this chapter, he cleans the sin of incest, prostitution, idolatry, and morality and religion without Jesus Christ. I want you to know there's people in this room. You ain't proud of what you've done, but you ought to lift your hand up right now and say, glory to God that I'm clean this morning. I'm justified this morning. I'm declared righteous this morning. I'm as if I've never sinned. He cleansed me from my sin. You ask me why I'm happy. I'll tell you why. My sins are all gone. When you ask me where they're at, I'll tell you where they're at. They're all under the blood of Calvary. They're gone. Hey, by the way, they were cast into the sea of forgetfulness and put a no fishing sign out there. Somebody help me. I remember, let me slow down a moment. You have a lot of things happen to you in the ministry. Dave, you have a lot of things happen to you. You know, I was preaching out in a place called Wolf Pen. Anybody ever heard of it? Have you ever been there, anybody? Good place to leave in. I was right in the middle of Wolf Pen preaching. I had a bizarre happening. I was just a young preacher. I had two guys, sinner boys, that came to hear me preach, to really came to make fun of me. That's what they came for. They didn't come for no real other reason but to make fun of me and say something ugly to me. Because when I walked in the church, one of them two boys said, they said, John David, don't you remember what kind of shape you were in when you were in high school? You wasn't nothing but a drunk and a heathen. And I looked at him, I said, yeah, I remember, but that's all gone. And they just looked at me and I said, that's gone. And I preached the gospel in that little church right there on Wolf Pen. And but them two boys that had frowns and mockery during their presentation at the beginning, I'll tell you what happened to them. Holy Ghost conviction got a hold of both of them. And they both came up there and got saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you, my Savior's grace can save and cleanse you, anybody from any sin. I don't care what you've done in life, how wicked you've been in life. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Am I doing all right? Number two, not only is there no sin that grace cannot cleanse. Listen here, I might take a lap myself. There's no sinner that grace cannot claim. Rahab was a streetwalker. Bathsheba was an adulteress.
Amen.
And I think about this. I think about, what y'all think about this? Oh boy. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't claim me. I wouldn't want me. He put those five ladies into that book. And you know what he was saying? I claim you. I put you into my son's genealogy. And you know what he said to every one of you in this room? I claim you. Now are you the Son of God. And it does not appear what you shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. Oh, they may tell you what you used to be. But I want to tell you, he claims me as a child. I'm a child of God. Heir of God. And joint heir with Jesus. Whew. Woo! Am I preaching? Let me give you a third thing. Under this grace part. Whew. Brother Rich, I'm getting so happy I can't hardly stand myself right now. There's no sin that grace cannot cleanse. There's no sinner that grace cannot claim. But I want you to hear this. There is no situation that grace cannot conquer.
Amen.
And actually, there were two there. If you look at Rahab, she said in verse 10, and they said they heard of the Jehovah God who dried up the Red Sea. There's some of you right now, and the people walked across on dry ground. And some of you, look at me. You're between the devil, Pharaoh, and the Red Sea. And your life is upside down. And you're wondering, how in God's name can God make this situation right? And how in God's name can God conquer my situation? Grace. Grace. Let me ask you, how many of you in this room have had a situation in your life that was utterly impossible, but God's grace conquered it for you and delivered you? And woo! Oh, there's another one here. Rahab was a member of a doomed race, the people of Jericho. Jericho had high walls. The walls were as wide as they were tall. No one could get in. But you know what happened when God got in that situation? The walls came tumbling down.
Amen.
There's some of you this morning. You know what a wall does? You know what a wall does? It boxes you in. It puts you up against the corner. How many people came to church this morning with a wall? With a situation you're all boxed in. You don't know how you're going to get out of it. You don't know what good's going to come from it. You don't know how in the world that you're going to survive. Can I slip up my hand and tell you, his name shall be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. I got a God that can conquer any problem, any situation, anything that you happen to be in. And deliver you.
Amen.
Lastly.
Amen.
Is this all right? What have I said so far, Chad? Try to help me. I talked about the blossoms, right? I talked about the blessings. I probably ought to do this so my wife don't get mad at me. But I want to come down a minute. I want to talk about the beauty. Think about this. They were marred. Every one of us before we got saved were marred. Listen to me. They were messed up. How many remember when you was a sinner? How many agree with me? You were messed up.
Man.
You were a mess. Not only were they marred and messed up, they were miserable. I mean, what happens to an adulteress? They stone her. What happens to a streetwalker? They stone her. We should have been crucified.
Amen.
We should have died with the hell. But God, this is my best part, made something beautiful
Amen.
Out of my life.
Amen.
He transported me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I am a child of God. I am an heir. Will somebody help me preach? Woo! Hallelujah. How can God take an old, ugly, messed up life like ours and make something beautiful, precious, adorable, fit for the kingdom of God? And the only thing I can say to you is the grace of God.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You that's watching by live stream, I wonder how many right now would say, I know that I died today. I know I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God. Raise your hand. Hold my high, testify for me. Thank you. How many right now couldn't raise your hand? But you know you're a sinner. And you know you're lost. And you like for God to save you. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Anybody here? I don't know. Most everybody raise your hand. But anybody online, are you here? All you need to do is realize you're a sinner. Realize you're ain't no way you can save yourself. And Christ died for you. I want to ask you. How many of you got a situation in your life that is a wall? That's a wall. You feel hemmed in. You feel closed in. And you say, Preacher Smith, I'm saved. But boy, I got a wall around me right now. I need God to conquer for me. How many slip up your hand and say, pray for me? I see your hands all over the church. Got walls. Got walls. Amen. Stand with me. God spoke to you. I want you to come forward. Our Father, thank you for this Christmas season. Lord, touch the message this morning. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.